So the three questions for this week are as follows. I got an email from a young lady living in Israel. I know this because she writes, "Hello, Rabbi Leibowitz. I am privileged to live in Israel." So there we go. "And I'll be beginning law school here after Sukkot," she writes, "God willing. Before starting law school, I wanted to perfect my Hebrew. So I found an ulpan with a special two-week course on legal Hebrew. My Hebrew is already very good, and I expressed concerns to the owner slash teacher that the course would be too easy, but he assured me that it would be challenging and useful for me. I'm now 1 week into the course, and I'm extremely disappointed by the level of the course. I would have asked for a refund immediately when the course began, but the Ulpan has a no-refund policy. When I informed my parents today, who paid for the course, how unsuitable it is for me, they instructed me not to attend the second week of the course, and ask the owner to refund the money that they paid. My parents really only want him to refund half the money, but they told me to ask him for the entire sum, hoping that he will offer to refund half." Meaning they know how it works, you know, this is how negotiations work. "They assume that if I ask him to refund half of the money, he'll refuse to pay at all. Am I permitted to ask the owner for more money than my parents actually feel they're entitled to?" Right, that is shaila number one. So a person thinks that they're entitled to $50. Can you say, "Hey, you owe me $100? Because you know the person will say, "No way, it's just $50. And then you'll be able to get your $50. Or do you have to say, "You owe me $50," and run the risk of them saying, "No, I don't." And then you're just not going to get anything. You're not going to get what you're actually entitled to. So are you allowed to engage in sheker to that to that extent in order to be able to get what you're actually entitled to? Question number two. I got an email from a guy I know for a long, long time, probably 25 years already. He was my camper in camp years ago. I don't think I've seen him since even, but he's a rabbi now. So he's like way younger than me. He's 3 years younger than me. So he's a rabbi now, and he writes as follows. "We struggled to get a minyan for Shachris on occasion." He's a rabbi of, I guess it's a smaller shul. I think I'm speaking there soon, so I don't think I've ever been to the shul, but I guess it's a smaller shul. "They struggled to get a minyan for Shachris on occasion. So I've bribed my high school boys to wake up an hour early to sit at shul to help make 10. Meaning, essentially, he's got sons who are in high school. The kids only have to wake up at 7:30 to catch minyan in yeshiva at 8 o'clock, but the 6:30 minyan in the shul could use a couple of extra warm bodies. So he pays them to come to shul. They daven later at school. They usually spend davening on their phone. This past week, my younger son decided to bring his noise-canceling headphones so that he could watch and listen to the Yankee game recap or something like that while the minyan was going on. Instinctively, I told him to take off the noise-canceling headphones because he can't possibly participate in the minyan unless he sees people standing for Kedusha or bowing for Baruch Hu. It seemed that he was opting out of minyan even though he was physically present. So in Simonon Hey, he writes, it seems to indicate that a cherish or even a shota may not be mitzdari for a minyan because of their inability to hear or speak or some form of insanity. Presumably the shota and the cherish want to be part of the minyan for their own sake. But if the cherish hamedaber can figure out what's going on with minyan, he could count. He's an active participant in a minyan. My kid wants to be part of the minyan to help the community. Perhaps making himself into a temporary cherish or a temporary shota is worse and would definitely not be mitzdarif because he's not actively participating. Or maybe because he has das, he's in the room, he can see what's happening, and noise-canceling headphones aren't exactly always noise-canceling. Maybe he would be mitzdarif. Either way, I still don't want him wearing the headphones, but I want to get your thoughts and sources on the topic. Can he count toward the minyan if the kid is wearing the noise-canceling headphones in the room?" That is shaila number two. And shaila number three, I got in the form of a WhatsApp. Someone texted me, said that, I think he said he recently signed a lease on an apartment in a building, and he apparently didn't do enough research because the hallway lights are on a motion sensor 7 days a week. So he's got a 2-year lease now that he's going to be living in a place where the lights in the hallway will turn on every time he goes in or out. So he wants to know what to do about Shabbos. So that's shaila number three. So the first is, can you ask for more money than you're entitled to in order to get the money that you are entitled to? The second one is, can a kid with noise-canceling headphones count to a minyan? And third is, can you live in a building, or how do you live in a building when there are hallway lights that will turn on every time you go in and out of your apartment on Shabbos? Do we have a preference? Two? Three? 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 Three. Okay, three. Which one was that? The hallway lights one? Okay. So, all right. So let's get to that issue. There has been, technology has provided a lot of Hilchos Shabbos problems for us. But as technology has advanced, it's also mitigated that some of the problems a little bit. What I mean by that is, it used to be, if you look in Poskim, if you look in Ramesh's Tshuvas, and Poskim of that whole generation, whenever it comes to turning on a light, they'll always naturally start with the assumption that you're dealing with an incandescent bulb and you're dealing with an Isidar Raisa. That's always the assumption that they're working with. We have the advantage that now there are almost no lights around that are actually an Eish D'Oraisa. I mean, halogens probably are, but the incandescent bulbs are, and maybe halogens are, but your LEDs, which are the most popular kind of lights right now, they're very bright, they don't give off any heat, so those are probably only Midrabanan, right? So that helps us somewhat, but it doesn't get us where we need to be in terms of this halacha. So, Nu, tell me, what's the issue over here? What's the problem? What's he violating when he goes out into the hallway? What's he potentially violating? It's a psikration that the lights are going to turn on, right? Every time he goes into the hallway. So what are the kulas? I told you I knocked it down to Nisid Rabbanan for you, okay? So what are the kulas? Where can we explore areas of leniency over here? Is the first thing that the poskim try to say when it comes to walking down the street and a light turns on. Even there, I don't buy it. Certainly not here. I mean, if you're walking down a dark street and the neighbor has motion detectors and lights turn on their property, it is kind of nice to be able to see where you're going a little bit better at night. And that's even with street lighting. When you're in a hallway, the hallway usually doesn't have windows, and there's no lighting coming in from anywhere. It's totally dark. It's absolutely nichale that the lights turn on. So it would seem that that's a problem of a psikreshe de nichale. And a psikreshe de nichale is a problem, right? And Mechaber does quote a daya that a psikreshe de nichale on a drabanan, psikreshe on a drabanan, that you could be makel with, but the Rama disagrees, and we generally don't accept that shita, that a psikreshe de nichale on a drabanan is enough, that it's not enough to make a psikreshe on a drabanan. So we need other tzadim lahakel over here.
In some cases, it could be something psikreshe if you're going from your apartment, you don't know if it's already on.
As soon as you open the door, you'll know if it's already on. Right? So what we need to come up with is halachic solutions and practical solutions.
It's not in the mindset.
So there's discussion about what's called a ma'isa. He's definitely doing a ma'isa, meaning every step he takes is a ma'isa. So that step that he takes in front of the motion sensor is a ma'isa. The question is it a ma'isa malacha, right? So there are a couple of angles that you could take over here. Magen Avraham quotes a Rashba about a case of Tzad Tzvi. So it's a halacha that, obviously, you're not allowed to trap animals on Shabbos. So let's say the Rashba discusses, you are in your house and a deer is in your house. Okay. It doesn't bother you that the deer is in your house, but it would bother you if some mosquitoes got in. So you want to close the door, right, to your house to keep the mosquitoes out. But you know as soon as you close the door to your house, it's obvious that the deer is going to be trapped inside your house. So the Rashba writes, Magen Avraham quotes, something along the lines of, if you're closing the door, not being misyaches to the deer at all, you're closing the door, because when you walk in the door, you close the door, because you're trying to keep the mosquitoes out, so you're closing the door. It's not misyaches at all to the deer. The deer just happens to be there. That's lower than a psikreshe. I mean, a psikreshe is, I'm doing the act that leads to the malacha, but it's much more direct. What I'm doing is directly related to the malacha. Psikreshe would be, I open the refrigerator, well, Shlomo Zalman would disagree with what I'm about to say, but a psikreshe would be, I open up the refrigerator and the light turns on, right? So when I'm opening up the refrigerator, I'm turning on the light, but this is far enough removed that it's not considered to be an iser. Magen Avraham rejects that Rashba, but it's a Rashba that exists on the books. Taking it a step further, or maybe several steps further, Rav Vazner has a tshuva in Chelek Tes in Shevet HaLevi, in Simas Samach Tes, where he was asked about not inside of a hallway, but he was asked about motion sensors on the street. I remember when we started my shul in North Woodmere, so it started in my basement. And I had just bought the house, and the first Shabbos in the house was the first Shabbos that people were coming to the shul. And on the way out of shul, after Maariv, my lights started turning on outside. We were machshil people in the first house. We didn't know there were motion sensors outside of our house. So if you live in a neighborhood where they're mostly from people, they try to disable these things generally for Shabbos, hopefully. But if you live in a neighborhood where there's a mix of people, so very often these things are not disabled. So after you're in the neighborhood for a while, you'll know which houses have motion sensors, which ones to try to avoid. So Rav Vosner says that he doesn't think you need to try to avoid. He doesn't think that there's any chashash iser whatsoever. Why? Well, how could there not be chashash iser? So he writes, "The yisod melecha Shabbos pu'ulas melecha." Melecha Shabbos means that you do. It needs two ingredients in order for something to be asr on Shabbos. You need the pu'ulas melecha, the action of doing a melecha, v'gam shiyeh melechas machshavas, and it has to be a purposeful act. Melechas machshavas is a category that's very broad that includes many different concepts, misasek and davreshena miskavin and melechshen tzrich luguva to different degrees. But melechas machshavas means, in general, that in order to violate Shabbos, it's got to be a purposeful act. So, in order to violate Shabbos, you need a pu'ulas melecha and a melechas machshavas. Psik reshei would take something that maybe start, or let's say davreshena miskavin would affect which of those categories? Does it affect the pu'ula or the melachas machshavas? So davar shem neskabin obviously affects the melachas machshavas. It doesn't affect the pu'ula whatsoever. He says, however, the hainu nami taima pluktas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda b'davar shem neskabin d'gor mita kiseid Rabbi Shimon Matir calls man shein psugreshi bevadai hagam shal pi rov yase gam charitz d'kolz man sheino hechrich gamer shi yase gam charitz ein maisa pu'ula sagrerim siachesas od las yas charitz. That if your old Avashayim Miskavin is mutter like Rabbi Shimon, it's true that sometimes when you drag the bench, there's going to be a hole that's dug, but the act of dragging the bench is not digging a hole. Rakamai Sagreira L'Shem Greira. You're dragging a bench to drag a bench. V'nimtza Shenasa Charetz B'li Pu'ula Misyachas Seileha. So the hole is made without a pu'ula that connects to the hole. The ayin plukta b'yisodze Rashba v'ran sof parakorig. Then he quotes this discussion with the Rashba that we mentioned before, and he says, "I think you don't need the Rashba. I think even when a person is here's his lashon, avalokein kisha adam eino osa klum mamish. When your mamish not doing anything, v'holech ledarko lefitumo. So what do you mean mamish not doing anything? You're doing a ma'isa. Every step is a ma'isa, like we said." But you're not doing anything about lights. You're just walking, and you're walking no differently than you would walk if the lights were not here. You're just walking the way you would normally walk. Af tenua achas, you're not even doing a single tenua on the man melacha. Af shebegramaso nidlak aro davar kiyotzebo. Yeah, the lights are turning on because of what you're doing. B'zep pshita shekolz man sheinu choshev mamish lalechas the man hidlak kiyotzebo sheinu mitzarf malichas aragila lahatotzaa. He says, what you are doing, what your normal, daily, regular activity is not going to be misyaches to the light, and therefore, even though it's definite that the light is going to turn on, it's not a pu'ulas melacha. It's a pu'ula of walking. And therefore, even though something that's psikresha may make it enough of melachas machsheves, but you're missing the first ingredient. You don't even have a pu'ulas melacha. That's his chiddush. When you say a chiddush like that, you got to be ready for people to start attacking, right? They're going to bring riots, they're going to bring kashas. So Rav Vosner was probably already an old man at the time that he wrote this, and he writes at the end, "Hayosi ish amus ein penai laharichod v'gam ein penai levikuchim haloch v'chazor." Essentially, take it or leave it. I'm not writing back about this. So he requested no return mail on the topic. Okay, it's a little rough. You can imagine. I spoke to Rav Willig about this week. You can imagine that would not be something that's widely accepted. It's a chiddush atzum. You know, the fact that he knows that every step that he's going to take, the light is going to turn on. That has nothing to do with him. You know, that's a little bit different than, let's say, a case where Rav Shakta spoke about. Actually changed over the years, walking in public places where there are cameras everywhere. So it's kosev midrabanan, maybe midaraisa, depending on the type of camera. When you walk in front of a camera, certainly if you have a private system in your own home, you should shut it off for Shabbos. The Ring doorbells present an issue, because the Ring doorbells, it depends which generation Ring you have. I have the first generation Ring when I saw it on Groupon for cheap, you know, because they had come out with the new one. The camera's only activated when you push the button. Also, I have the first generation and I never charge it, so it's dead, so it doesn't do anything. But if you have a newer one, it's constantly recording. And that's how they catch Amazon pirates and things like that, you know, when people come and steal things off your porch. You can go to the Ring doorbell and find them. You know, find at least what they look like, or look at their car or something like that. But so that's a real issue, meaning you're doing it in order to take pictures of people, and you'll sometimes refer back to those pictures. But in public places where, like, you have no idea where there's a camera, if there's a camera, who's looking, what it's all about. You go to the Kotel, there are cameras there also, and there's always... So I remember when I was in yeshiva many years ago, my cousin, if anyone ever went to NCSY Kolo, my cousin Rav Natan Leibowitz was living... His parents were divorced, and he was living with his mother in the Upper West Side, I think it was, or maybe the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And there was a camera in the building. And he asked Rav Schechter at the time, he told me he asked Rav Schechter at the time about the camera in the building. And Rav Schechter said, it's a real problem. It's a melacha of kosev. You shouldn't be going in the building on Shabbos. He said, but my mother lives there. So he said, yeah, she should probably move. 24 Bennett has some available apartments. And that was, I don't think his mother was interested in moving to 24 Bennett, but but in more recent times, we've heard different psak, and that if it's so far removed from you and you have no shaychus to the camera, then maybe that's not considered anything. That it's like, you know, Nevinsal has such a shita. Any other tzadim lahakel? So I came across, I was looking at Rabbi Ribi at Sefer, and he quoted the following from Shlomo Zalman that I thought was surprising. I don't understand it. Maybe someone here can explain it to me. And he says as follows. Let's start with this. Shlomo Zalman was discussing about opening a refrigerator when the light is on in the refrigerator. So this is something that is an age-old shaila, right? You can't say it's psikreshet l'nichalei. People always try to say, oh, I don't really care about the light. Yes, you do. That's why they put it there. Put it there because it's more geschmack when you're looking in the refrigerator, when you can actually see what's going on in the refrigerator. You can't say, and Shlomo Zalman addresses this, that, no, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, so it's Lo Nichalei that the light turns on, because, of course, Lo Nichalei means, but for Shabbos, would you be happy with this result or not? So the suggestion was made, what if you close your eyes and you open the refrigerator? And then you take out whatever you need, and then you close the door, and that's it. And then it was psikrei shedlo nichlei. By the way, psikrei shedlo nichlei, the Aruch holds his mutter. We don't hold Meikar Adin is really mutter, unless it's a major shas adchak. Amir la'akum on psikrei shedlo is a different story. If you have a guy around, that's helpful. But very often you don't have a guy around. Sometimes you have a psikrei shedlo and a drabanan, and major tzarech, and now the lights in the refrigerator are only drabanan, and maybe if you do it with a shinui, the thing is, walking into the hallway, you can't really do the shinui. But opening a refrigerator, maybe if you do it with a shinui, you make it a double drabanan, and it's a psikreshe, so there's what to play with. My first summer in Camp Kaylee, I noticed when I flushed the toilet in the place, my whatever you call it, my cabin, I heard a pump turn on every time. I just test flush the toilet and you hear, like you hear a pump activated every single time. So I thought, this could be a problem. You know, what are we going to do about Shabbos? Every time I flush the toilet, the pump turns on. So I asked Rav Schechter at the time what to do. And I said, maybe we should have the camp get a guy to walk around, you know, and flushing the toilets every hour or something, you know. Amir Lakum and a psikresha. He said, it's a psikresha and drabanan, and it's a kavod abrios issue. It's a kavod abrios dochalas isha b'tara. So I said, maybe the guy will come around. He said, I think that's a kavod abrios issue also. If you need a guy to come flush your toilets for you, that's probably also a kavod abrios. So that's, there you have that heter, but I don't know, what do you have over here? But so Shlomo Zalman discusses closing your eyes, right? And the way Rabbi Ribiat quotes, I'll read you what Rabbi Ribiat says first, and then we'll see how Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the footnotes. In a lot of these English svarim, you know, they quote the basic mahalich in English, but then you really need to read the footnotes to understand what's going on. He writes, Rabbi Ribiat writes, if absolutely no other means of passage is available, then one should try, when he feels that he's almost in range of the censer, to walk toward the area while covering his eyes, so as not to derive benefit from the light as it flashes on. He may then uncover his eyes after he senses that the light must have flashed on, and even permit himself to benefit from the light after it's already on. While this is admittedly a somewhat awkward solution, it is nevertheless a halakhically viable one. What? What's he saying? Walk out to the hallway like this, and then as soon as you're out of the hallway, open your eyes, and you can enjoy the light. What's the problem with that? Meaning, what's he saying? Why are you allowed to do that? Because when you walk out into the hallway with your eyes closed, that's when you're doing the malacha. At that moment, it's lo nichale. The fact that you're benefiting later is no relevance. So, Nu, what's the problem with that?
Can't be
known at all. There was no malacha. You walked out of the psychiatrist lo nichale.
It's
nichale. That's the definition of the. Meaning, does it have to happen instantaneously? Let's say you have your light switch, you know, like you have old faulty wiring, and when you turn on the light switch, it takes a second, you know, before the light flashes on. That means that you didn't turn on the light? What do you mean? Of course it's nichale. The lights are turning on because of you, and you know that you're going to benefit from the light at the time that you're doing the malacha. Okay, you could argue if you didn't know, and then later maybe there's no isser to open your eyes afterwards if you didn't know, but if that's what the plan was the whole time, that's a real problem. So he quotes this idea from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Where is this Rav Shlomo Zalman? So Rabbi Felder Sefer, Rabbi Gedalia Felder Sefer, Yisod Yeshurun, he has a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman about opening refrigerators on Shabbos when the lights are on. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is very against this heter of closing your eyes. He thinks it doesn't work at all. And he writes, I'll tell you why it doesn't work. It's a very interesting svara, and yesh ladun bedvarav. It's not so pashut the svara that he says either. It happens to be he has another svara. Rabbi Yehuda Balzam told me that Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that it's not a psikreshe when you open the fridge and the light turns on. That's called doing the malacha itself. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's how you turn on the fridge light. That's like saying turning on a light switch is a psikreshe. Meaning the way to turn on a fridge light is by opening the fridge door. So that's how you do it. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara with the fridge light. You could argue with that, because opening the fridge door is mainly to access the food in the fridge. It's not really to turn on the light, it's a side benefit, and that would seem to fit into the category of psikreshah, but that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says elsewhere. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, here's my problem with closing your eyes. He says, "Gam nirit ta'afim yachle datzul meinov ulahotzi me'amakarer kol ma shetzarich be'enayim sugurot." You're going to take whatever you need with closed eyes, ulahashir sa'achkach patuach, and then you're going to leave it open. So, because if you close it, that's going to be another violation of Shabbos. Omachle v'chasus tekef esanor b'machasu b'ofen shlo yuchal leklal lehanos me'adlaka, or somehow you'll cover the bulb in a way that you'll get no anah. If you can make it that you're not benefiting from the light that's on in the fridge at all, then really it's lo nichle, because you're just wasting electricity and you're paying for that electricity. I still think it would be aser, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Why? It's similar to what the Beis Meir writes about the malacha of kosher on Shabbos. A kesher shel kayama is asked to make on Shabbos. What defines a kesher shel kayama? How do we define a kesher shel kayama? How long it's going to last, right? Says the Beis Meir, Mikol Makom, in b'derech klal in regilim lahatir as a kesher kamo kesher shel tzitzis utfilin lechadome. But if the kind of kesher that you're tying is the kind of kesher that people always leave for a long time, like the kesher of your tefillin, no one unties it and reties it every day. Even if you personally are having kavana that you're going to untie it later that day, and you'll do it, you will, right after Shabbos is over, you'll untie it, so that you will avoid Kesher Shel Kayama. The Chashiv Shel Kayama. He says that's called Kesher Shel Kayama. The Chayiv Chatas, and you're Chayiv Chatas for that. Because that's the way that Kesher is always made. It's always done as a kesher shel kayama. So the fact that you're going to do something strange, you're going to do something unusual, you're going to do something weird when you're doing this malacha, as a way of trying to get around the malacha, doesn't change the malacha. V'achinami gam kan. He says, when people open up their refrigerator, it's nichle that the lights will turn on. That's always something that's nichle. So you're going to say, oh, I'll close my eyes and it'll be different. Closing your eyes is not going to make a difference because you're just doing something unusual. And then he just, almost like a throwaway line, he says, and if you're going to hold, that you can close your eyes and that will be good. Then what's to stop you from opening your eyes afterwards and saying that it's still good? Because at the time that you did it, you were closing your eyes. Right? Meaning, he's not saying this as a svara lahatir. He's trying to be machmir, not to open the refrigerator and shut it. So he just says, and it could be that if you hold that it's mutter to close your eyes, well then you'll be allowed to open your eyes a minute later. I still don't understand it, but you know, sometimes when you quote what poskim say, sometimes, like, someone will quote a heter of a certain posik, and then you look up the tshuva, and there's six snifim lahakel. And this is one of six. And now the person's willing to rely on that one snif lahakel to be mater agunos or whatever, right? Or, you know, you gotta be careful to read the whole context. So, I don't know. I asked Rabbi Willig if he understood, if he could explain it. He doesn't believe me that it says what it says here. I didn't bring him the evidence. But he couldn't. So is there any etza for this fellow over here? With the so someone suggested he should get an oscillating fan and put that in the hallway, and as the fan is moving, it will keep triggering the motion sensor. So the building may not be so pleased about him just putting things. It may be a fire hazard to put things in the hallway. Plus, it's a chosh mishpat shayla. Meaning there's a reason they have motion sensors there, right? It's because they don't want the electricity running the whole time. So now you're costing the building the extra electricity. My brother, who's a bit of a, he's a huge Talmud Chacham, but also a bit of a clown, he emailed me back that he should put an oscillating fan in the hallway, and if the building doesn't allow it, just release live rats in the hallway, and they'll they'll keep the lights on. Okay, not a practical. Then he apologized afterwards for a misspelling in the email because his 12-year-old daughter was typing it for him. Like, you had your 12-year-old daughter type to release live rats in the, what's wrong with you? So, I later found Rav Avadia, that Rav Yitzchak Yosef quotes, that they asked Rav Avadia years ago in Paris, many years ago in Paris, they had, that clock is wrong, yeah, many years ago in Paris, they had a problem that it became law that everything had to be on motion sensors. Every building in Paris, every apartment building in Paris, it was law. So Rav Avadia was asked, what should we do? We're going to have to not just leave the building, we're going to have to leave the city. So he said, Gegesente, leave the city. It should be with, I didn't say Gegesente, he didn't speak Yiddish, I don't think. But he said, you should leave the city and you should be Matzliach in your Parnasa and everything elsewhere. And they said that the whole place, you have to, okay. It turned out probably a good idea for Jews to leave France. But anyway, so Rav Avadia was very strict about this, but Rav Avadia, you have to realize, he was talking in a time where it was also Daraisa. So, I don't know what the simple etza is over here. I don't know what to really tell the guy. I keep on meaning to ask Rav Shechter, but I never want to interrupt him when he's learning with you guys. Like, I feel like you get interrupted constantly, so I don't want to like interrupt again. You know, even though I'm sure he's interrupted by less important things, but I didn't ask him what to tell the guy. Rabbi Willick said that you could be mitzvahed for a bunch of different things, perhaps. You know, the idea that. Certainly if he can make it through the whole hallway closing his eyes, with his eyes remaining closed the whole time, you could probably rely on that. Right? Because then it's mamish pesik reshet dila nichalei, and that's a makom tzarech if he needs to get to shul, he needs to leave his apartment. On the way in, he should just wait till someone else walks in, right? And that would solve the problem. But the real eitzah, most of the time when you get this kind of shaila, he doesn't need a pesak, he needs an eitzah. And I think the real eitzah is you go to the building management, you say, what will it cost? What will it cost me to get you to leave the lights on? just up until my floor. Let's say if he's on the third floor and there are five floors, I don't care about the rest of the floor, just one, two, and three, just, you know, when I need to walk up the stairs. And it's pennies. I mean, it's so silly, because they do, you know, be green and save energy. They're saving very little energy. These LED lights, they don't really use that much energy. You know, in my shul, I mean, when we went from the old kind of lights to the new kind of light, like, the energy bill went way, way down. So that's what he should really do. He should speak to the building management, figure a way out of it so that he doesn't have this problem, that they can leave the lights on constantly. Maybe they can cover the motion sensors and just leave the lights on. That would be the proper etzah. Just because sometimes people ask about, what about the other shilas? No, we're not going to have time. It's already 8:30. Okay, the other shilas are somewhat interesting. They're sugyas. Maybe we'll get to them in 10 minutes over the course of the week. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.